You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys helped. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that. And for all the overheated rhetoric surrounding this committee, our mission is very simple. It's to find the truth, and it's to ensure accountability.
Yes and no. This is July 27, 2021. That is Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican. A Republican seated on the House Select Committee that Pelosi wants to investigate and find out, not really the facts, but how do we blame it all on Trump and anyone who would have voted for Trump at that point and may still be thinking about supporting him or the GOP in the future? This is political theater at its finest. And Kinzinger did it great. I mean, he was this close to crying. Emotional. Now, he's praising the Capitol Police for what they did. I share that with him. I share the fact that we want to know what happened. And this is not the way we should do it. I share the idea that our democracy is not defined by our worst days, but also our best days. And overall. But you see now why Pelosi put him on that committee as one of the Republicans to serve on the House Select Committee, all to investigate the January 6th violent invasion of the Capitol. I will agree with that, a violent invasion. It was not an insurrection. No one, not one person, has been charged with insurrection because they do not have standing to do so. Thinking them on trespassing, defacing federal property, stealing federal property, Nancy Pelosi's nameplate, things of this nature, intimidation, but not insurrection. Insurrection would really mean, let me see, actually trying to overthrow the government. That's not what those inside the Capitol were doing. They were wrong. They shouldn't have done it. It put a mark against Republicans and Trump supporters and all conservatives for eons to come. But it was not an insurrection. Kinzinger, very emotional, saying, we want the facts. So is he going to ask the questions that Congressman Trey Gowdy of Ohio or Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana, both Republicans, would have asked? See, they were originally appointed to serve on that committee. The GOP leadership said, we want you guys to serve on the committee. When a committee like this is set up, Democrats and Republican leadership get to appoint the members they want to serve on it. But it didn't happen this time. Because Pelosi said, no, Banks and Gowdy, they're too partisan. Partisan? That's a funny joke. Every Democrat on that committee is partisan. And obviously Kinzinger is apparently going to be part of their partisan pawnship as well. We're going to get into that in great detail over the next 2 hours. You do not want to miss a moment. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air because they need to hear this as well. Even your enemies. Oh, also lock down, mask up again. You don't have a vaccination? You don't have one? You don't have one? You will get one. You will get one. Or else we might ban you from life. Don Lemon Fruitcake is suggesting ban you from life if you're not going to do it. Do you know how many medical personnel have not gotten a vaccination? Nationwide, according to WebMD and Medscape Medical System, 1 in 4 hospital workers had not received a single dose of COVID-19. Among the 50 largest hospitals, 1 in 3 have not gotten it. Why? Are they afraid of it? Is it because it's not fully FDA approved? Think they don't need it? And again, keep in mind, they're trying to push it on our kids, and we're told to follow the science. There's no such science. Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist, going to join us about this revolt against the American people, against you. And then the hypocrisy of the progressives when it comes to law and order. Former Congressman Trey Gowdy made a great presentation on that over the weekend on his program. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And we have to get in those communities and we have to knock on those doors. And we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
That is the mission. New York Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, we're going to get in the cars. We're going to put unvaccinated people in the car. We're going to drive them to the hospital or wherever and get that shot in their arm. This is how you round people up. And you put them on freight cars and say, we're going to take you somewhere where you can get a nice shower. And they're marched into this room where there's steam heads and shower heads above them. But coming out is not water. It's gas. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I just described the Holocaust. I did. And why did I do that? Well, because the Democrats always love to attack conservatives, particularly Trump, and anyone linked to him. Oh, they're like Hitler. They're like the Nazis. What did you just hear Cuomo say? Quentin, I'm going to ask you to play that one more time for me. Did you not hear him basically say, this is what we're going to do if you're unvaccinated? We're coming for you.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Yep, there's your mission. Larry, that's really a stretch to try to compare that to the Holocaust. I know it is, folks. I know that. I hope you took it tongue in cheek. But when the Democrats rush forward to claim that Trump and Trump supporters or any conservatives or like the fascist, or like the Nazis. The state-controlled media allows them to go and do what the hell they want. So this is my program. I'm going to do what the hell I want. So that's what I chose to do. But here we go again. More lockdowns. More lockdowns, more masks. As I told you yesterday, several cities are already doing so. St. Louis City County already back under that. Let me point something out to you that I think they tried to slip under the rug and for us not to pay attention. Mayor Bill de Blasio had said not too long ago that, here it is, he appeared on CNN's New Day program. Mayor Bill de Blasio, he argued against reinstating his city's indoor mask mandate. He argued against it because he said it gives people a false sense of security. Oh, I'm wearing a mask, so I'm okay even though I'm unvaccinated. He said the mask is like a pea shooter. The vaccine is a cannon. He said, so I don't want to reinstate our indoor mask mandate. And then he turns around this week and says all New York City employees be vaccinated or tested once per week, and the city will step up enforcement of its mask mandate for unvaccinated workers, threatening, quote, very tough consequences. They are insisting that you have to deal with this properly. And a vaccine is it. And, of course, we wouldn't have any of the vaccines had it not been for Trump and his instructions to the drug companies, warp speed, and to the federal agencies overseeing everything, cut the red tape. We're going to come to that issue right now because that brings up the issue of, as I said in the opening monologue, how many hospital personnel are not vaccinated. And you might think, well, wait a minute, why are so many hospital employees not vaccinated? Now, just yesterday, the VA hospital, Veterans Affairs Administration, said everyone working in their facilities would have to get a vaccination, which suggests they don't already have them, right? So again, a report from WebMD and Medscape Medical News looking at data collected by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services from 2,500 hospitals across the U.S., 1 in 4 hospital workers haven't gotten a single dose of COVID-19 by the end of May. And of the 50 largest hospitals, 1 in 3. In Florida, at some hospitals, only 30 to 40% of the staff has gotten vaccinated. In Houston, Memorial Hermann reports that only that says that 32% of its workers have not been vaccinated. So what's going on? They're in the health business. They should know that's what you got to do. It could be they're thinking, you know, I'm going to follow the science, and I don't want it. I don't think I need it. And they're the ones on the front line. They're making their decision. And, of course, the question for many is, are these vaccines even approved by the FDA? I want to remind you something. When Trump originally said he's going to rush this forward, what was the first thing de Blasio of New York City and Governor Cuomo of New York and all the Democrat governors and mayors said, if it's a vaccine that comes to the Trump administration, I won't take it. And it was available before the end of December. Biden got one. Harris got one, and of course Trump and others. And then suddenly New York City said, we need it. That's because by then Biden had won, and they knew it's going to be under the Biden administration, most would be issued. But it has not. None of them have been fully approved by the FDA. They're authorized for emergency use. I think they have had a value. I'm not trying to tell you to not get it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer to that extent. I say you make the decision for you and your family. And that's a big difference from what we're getting from the others. And if they really want to prove to me, if the left, if the Democrats really want to prove to me that they are really serious about cracking down and shutting down any possibility of COVID spreading, shut down our borders. Well, we actually have. We will not allow any transition traffic from U.S. into Canada, nor from Canada into the U.S., unless It's a required trip. No pleasure. We will not allow anyone from the U.S. to go into Mexico or come from Mexico simply for pleasure. Howsomever, if you're an illegal coming across, banging on the gates, bringing kids, or coming across by yourself, they're going to let you in. And to that extent, these illegals are in our country at the gates, and then they're being brought in, then they're being put on buses, and now we also know on planes out of a U.S. Air Force base being flown deeper and deeper into our territory. The retired acting ICE director, who's now a Fox contributor, Tom Holman, said, there's your source of COVID.
Those who escaped Border Patrol apprehension, how many of them had COVID? And we already know the U.S. government, on purpose, has released hundreds of COVID-positive people into the interior by either buying them a bus ticket or a plane ticket and releasing them into the interior of the United States. This is simply incompetence at the highest level. At the same time, they're talking about Americans masking up. They're talking about door-to-door vaccinations. The U.S. citizens being held accountable to COVID, but the southwest border is wide open.
Absolutely. And this federal government, this Biden administration, is helping super spread the COVID Delta variant or the original COVID-19 or any other illness or disease illegals coming in with, because they're not really being given full test. And if they are tested, they're not given full quarantine instruction, or they're expected to follow it wherever they go, and you can bet they don't. When they shut down the border and said, this is so bad, we got to put a stop. We had at least a million already in the first 6 months of the Biden administration cross our border illegally. And then you've got, of course, the political narrative that they all want to put on it, that claiming that the Sean Hannity and other conservative outlets and so forth, that we're trying to that we're making remarks about vaccines and COVID that are scaring people away from vaccination. I've never done that. I've told you do what you should. I know Hannity has said the same thing. But don't let the facts get in the way of the narrative of Chris Cuomo of CNN.
My hope is that people on the right and Trumpers changing their tune, whether it's Steve Scalise or Sean Hannity or these other guys starting to get more quiet about it, that may make a difference. They are aware that they don't want to wind up like Trump, where you misplay a pandemic, it's demonstrably false what you said, and you lose. They don't want the midterms to look like this election did for Trump. And that's why you're seeing that narrative shift. Hopefully it makes a difference, because, again, this is a situation where it cannot be left and right. It's got to be reasonable. The science is there.
What science? What science? The science when Dr. Fauci said, don't worry, it's not going to be a big deal for the U.S.? Or when Dr. Fauci said, oh, don't even bother a mask, it won't do any good. Then later saying, yeah, you got to have a mask. And when you get the vaccination, you won't need the mask. Oh, now that you got the vaccination, you still need the mask. What science do you want us to follow? Which science? How about the one for the kids? You want to have all these kids down from age 5 wearing a mask, and we're looking at trying to get these vaccines into kids ages 12 and under? We have no idea of long-term effects. We have none. We don't know if it's going to make them sterile, if there are going to be problems down the line. I feel for parents facing this. But they're just rushing forward. And keep in mind, the FDA itself had originally said, oh, you don't need the mask anywhere if you've had the vaccine. Now, as we expected, as Dr. Fauci telegraphed the other day, no, we're going to go ahead and tell everybody you do need to go ahead and get the vaccine and the mask. And what about the kids? Well, about the kids, I read it to you yesterday. Let me do it again for you. A Johns Hopkins research reported that when studying a group of about 48,000 children, they found zero COVID deaths. Zero. Zero out of 48,000. 300 deaths when you lower the age. But many of them also had comorbidity issues to begin with. But they still are insisting we're going to have to go ahead and vaccinate the kids. All this data on thousands of children, and they found a mortality rate of zero among children who did not have pre-existing medical conditions such as leukemia. Where's the science? The National Education Association debating whether to urge schools to require vaccination. They're already doing it. They're going to do it again. Colleges are doing it. Olympics have been shutting out people because they might have one positive test, which may or may not be right. And Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN says, if you don't get it, you should be banned from life.
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but don't get the vaccine. You can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine. You don't show it. Can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine. Can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine. Can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now, because we continue to waste our breath on people who are just not going to change. They're, you know, the circular logic. They just keep going back and saying, well, it's my freedom. It's whatever. I'm free. Well, your kid's not free to give other kids meningitis in schools. You got to take a vaccine to do that. You got to take vaccines in order to be employed. So what is the big deal? And all these people were saying, I don't want to put this stuff in my body. They're out drinking on the weekend and putting other substances in their bodies. That's way worse for them than a vaccine. So come on, let's be real.
Well, all right, let's be real. Are you saying that we don't have our personal freedoms anymore? I thought it, like with women when it came to abortion, it's my body. I do what I want. Then we have what's happening in Australia. Stand by for that part of the story.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, I want you to hear what's happening in Australia, and I want you to compare to see what you're seeing happen in this country and how far they're going to be pushing that. But before I do that, let's go to the source of COVID originally. It's the Wuhan lab. Yeah, even Dr. Fauci is finally admitted, of course, some months ago. He'll do a 180 now and say, it could have come from the lab. Where originally, he was saying, no way. It could not, did not happen. And, of course, he testified before Congress that, well, we really didn't contribute anything. Oh, well, we did a modest amount. And it had nothing to do with gain-of-function studies. Gain-of-function, code word for how to weaponize a virus, which is what China was doing. France sent a warning to the U.S. in 2015. In 2015, that's before Trump came in. You do remember that, right? The word from France was, we are helping build this lab in Wuhan. And China suddenly shut down our access and is not cooperating with us. French intel officials warned our U.S. State Department and their own foreign ministries China was cutting back on the agreed protocols at the lab and what was to be done. And by 2017, the French were fully kicked out of the lab. The State Department in 2021, at the end of the Trump administration, alleged the Wuhan lab had engaged in classified research on behalf of the Chinese military since at least 2017. I had no doubt they were doing that, did you? But even when it's presented and put in our face, the idea was simply to say, well, you know, it's China. You don't want to, you know. And the World Health Organization bought the story, and Dr. Fauci was out peddling the story. So maybe we're wrong. So you want to tell that to those who've lost loved ones because of COVID? Or you want to tell to those who are now being forced to take vaccines they really don't want or worried about their children and their health if they continue for the future? So Australia, down under, mate. The foreign minister, Downer, says Australians have chosen to reject civil liberties in preference for stronger restrictions around the pandemic. He said in the UK, the government and public prior to Freedom Day had accepted lockdowns and restrictions as part and parcel of handling the virus. They embraced the British approach with more gusto than the French and added the public couldn't care less about civil liberties. The media never questions about them down under. Mate, they just don't do that. It just seems to be normal to lock down whole communities. Who cares where the money comes from to pay compensation to businesses and other affected people if they are paid? He said, we need more debate on how to handle it. I told you the other day, about half of Australia is now under lockdowns again. The Australian population, about 25 million. And they're going after those that are rallying against the restrictions. A police commissioner said, we got over 10,000 tip-offs regarding individuals involved in a protest July 24 in Sydney. Folks who were against the COVID restrictions and the lockdowns. And you know what the police commissioner had to say about them? They're anarchists. They're anarchists. He said, we will take ground very early. You will be arrested and prosecuted. July 24, thousands of protesters took to the streets of Sydney and Melbourne as part of a worldwide Rally for Freedom event. Many of them carrying signs chanting, what do we want? Freedom. Sound like right out of Cuba. But they were out there protesting, quit locking us down. The case numbers in Australia, relatively small. I mean relatively small, out of 25 million in the nation. Recently, 88,000 cases have been reported over a period of a month. Total in some areas. Maybe 110 hospitalized, maybe one death, and they locked everything down. I want you to hear Christopher Bedford coming up in the next segment. He's a senior editor with The Federalist. And he's talking about how all this comes into play in what he calls the revolt against the American people. Don't miss it coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I was telling you that the VA, of course, yesterday, and the state of California and New York all saying now they're going to require some or all government employees to get vaccinated, tested weekly. The Department of Justice weighed in for a ruling for them, saying federal law does not prohibit agencies, public agencies, or even private businesses from requiring COVID-19 vaccines that are under emergency use authorization. They can be employees can be told you get it or else you'll be punished, maybe lost a job. And the DOJ says that's perfect. There's no problem with that. Last week, there was a political story that broke down the continuing lockdowns by county, party, and income. Supposed to show Democrats and Republicans have similar COVID strategies, according to Christopher Bedford, who writes for the Federalist. And he said it's laughable. It didn't show Democrats and Republicans similar COVID strategies. It showed something different. Working class people are back at work. Many have always been working. And the rich folks, as Bedford said, not so much. But guess who's calling for more lockdowns, he asked. It's not the hourly workers, he adds. Joining us now, the author of that article from The Federalist, senior editor Christopher Bedford. Chris, glad to have you on board again, sir.
That's great to be back.
Well, that was a great, I mean, this piece, it was a fascinating read. It's titled, folks, A Seven-Day Journey Through the Revolt Against the American People, subtitled Every Single Day, More and More Americans Finding Their Lives Held Hostage by the Ideology of an Elite That Has the Privilege of Avoiding All Consequences for Its Own Actions. We're talking about the COVID, first of all. So when you point out what's going on with that and you talk about a revolt against the American people, it's not when we say the American people, we're talking about our founding principles and basic premise, correct?
Yes, that those people, we're talking about those ideas, the broader sections of society. But also we have this strange thing in this country where the most powerful and the most wealthy and those with the least amount to lose are routinely punishing and following policies and executing policies that punish and hurt and cause crime and joblessness and lockdowns and familial separations in a lot of the places in this country where people don't have that same voice, don't have that same access to power and wealth, where they have to go to work every day. They can't just go home and sit on their hands and know that they'll get a paycheck for Zoom calls, where they need to get dirty and take a shower when they're done with work because of being on the job site. Those people have always been back at work, whether it's the police officers or the grocery clerks or the nurses and the doctors, which, of course, we've always talked about, but also the bus drivers and the garbage men and the construction workers. Well, meanwhile, a lot of the teachers and a lot of the folks, and many of them are good people, but a lot of the teachers and a lot of the white-collar folks have not been calling for more lockdowns.
Okay, you broke up briefly. You said that but now we're facing more lockdowns. And the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about the difference between the common and the elite, first thing that comes to mind for me every time is John Kerry flying around in his personal jet, lecturing everyone we need to reduce carbon emissions and carbon footprint. And you got a Biden in there shutting down the Keystone Pipeline right away. And the gas prices go up. People are losing jobs. And the jobs they have, they don't have enough money now because the inflation's moving in. And you're right. The elite, the politicians at the top, they make theirs. And good luck to you to get yours.
Absolutely. And they're the ones who are calling for a lot of these rules and are saying that their hands are tied. Now, it's been wild to me talking to some of the Republicans. On the federal level, there's nothing to stop vaccine mandates. No rules yet, at least unless it gets to the federal level, so inside the states. You can regulate interstate commerce at the federal level and say, hold on a second. But right now, the Republicans aren't in charge. The Democrats are. There are a lot of Republican states. Florida's been a leader in this. Texas, not so much, but kind of. Montana's been another leader in this that have said, you can't force people to get vaccine passports. You can't tell someone who works in a town with one factory or with one big store or with one major economic employer that unless they take an experimental vaccine, they cannot come to work and earn a living. Those people need to be defended. They're the ones who have the least power, the least access to other jobs, the least access to capital in our society, and they need our elites to be protecting them, not simply saying, well, be part of the team player, be a team player, take an experimental vaccine that you're not allowed to ask questions about. And how dare you even think that you had any freedom over this?
All right. I can hear the cry from many out there, but vaccines could save lives. They can protect you. And we want somebody, if you're not wearing a mask and you're not vaccinated, you're a threat to me and others. And that some of that's true. But some who have gotten the vaccine still came down with COVID or had COVID and got the vaccine and got COVID again. I mean, so it's a plus minus, but the general overall good, I think, would be that we have a health crisis, but it's being used as a weapon, a whip against the public.
That's exactly the case. When you see calls for lockdowns coming now and you see the CDC claiming that they're going to return to mask mandates and you see California and some aspects of the federal government starting to mandate vaccination of people who may have religious problems with it or maybe they're just worried that they have no idea what the effect could be on their ability to have children going forward, and they're in the younger groups of folks who are less vulnerable to this. I wonder what's causing this. I know it's a new Delta variant, but have our death rates gone up? No, I was just looking at our death rates today. They're as low as they've been generally during this, with occasional spikes during this entire pandemic. Are we behind in vaccinations compared to other Western countries? No, we're kicking the butts on Australia and a lot of Europe as far as Americans' willingness to get vaccinated. So what is the cost of this, other than simply wanting to reassert control, wanting to dominate as many people as they can, and just have that power that they had during COVID? And it's a very frightening place for us to be, but I think that a lot of Americans are going to be unwilling to go back into lockdowns that the press is pushing for, or masks on. And another thing that's bugging me.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering, why is the federal government telling people if they get vaccinated and they're healthy, that they still have to wear masks and distance from people?
That seems
like a disincentive.
Well, that's the whole thing. In fact, that is why the other day, just the other day on CNN, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said, I really don't want to put mask mandates back into place because it's counterproductive, because it tells people, well, there's no sense getting a vaccine if you're going to have to wear a mask. But now he's back on board. But yet we've got, and especially with kids, before you joined us, I was reading a John Hopkins research about 48,000 children, zero COVID deaths among healthy kids. And if you have a kid, and I have a daughter, I have a grandson who is type 1 diabetic, well, she's been extremely careful. And I think she's decided they're going to do the vaccine. Maybe he's already gotten it. He's 10 years old. I'm not sure. But I feel for parents having to make that decision. We have no long-term studies on how this affects kids in particular. And yes,
right.
We worry about them have something going wrong now, but you don't, you know, it's like a life insurance salesman. And I got a lot of friends who are life insurance salesmen that goes and tells a grandma or comes to me and says, you know, you got a 5-year-old grandson. You need to buy a death policy for them. Odds of that kid dying in a death policy mean nothing at that point in their life. Now, when they get older, but we don't know what's going to happen when we get older with these vaccines for these kids.
That's the thing is, I mean, I personally took the vaccine. I know a lot of people did.
I did too.
That my parents take it. But I don't suggest that everybody takes it because an mRNA vaccine was just created 18 months ago. They were much more recently than that. They've been working on them for 18 months. 18 months ago, this kind of technology was theoretical. And the reason why it's not FDA approved yet is not because the FDA is sitting on their hands, not trying to do anything about it. It's because it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a number of years to find out what the long-term effects of this are, what it could have an impact on fertility, whether it could have possibly adverse reactions of people with this genetic strain or this condition already. We know that some of that's gone on already. We know it's been linked to some of these cases, but it's hard to get to the truth of the matter because big tech has made it as hard as possible for anyone to even talk about it. The media won't speak about it, and that only increases skepticism.
Yeah, let me go. You're listening to Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist. I'm going to ask you right now. We have a break coming up shortly. Can you stay through the break to the end of the hour with us? Will you be able to do that? Because I got a couple questions. Okay. I just want to clarify that because one thing I want to hold after the break to discuss. But right now, another piece I'd pointed out, you're talking about we don't know what's going to happen. WebMD, Medscape Medical News, looking at 2,500 hospitals across the nation. Of the nation's 50 largest hospitals, 1 in 3 healthcare workers didn't get it. I don't care to get it. Probably won't get a vaccine. They're in the medical profession, and they say, I don't think I want that thing. So who's to blame for that?
Oh, I think that's a lot of that's got to do with some of the cultural aspects of this and the backgrounds a lot of the healthcare workers come from. We know that in the Black and Hispanic populations, for example, there's a very big dislike of experimental injections and a distrust for the newest science. That seems to be playing a part. When you saw now Vice President Kamala Harris come out as a leader in the Black community and say, well, I'm not going to get that if it comes from Donald Trump. That was followed immediately by direct spikes in distrust. That seems to be something that's continuing, and I think that's part of what we're seeing in the healthcare workers.
All right, we are going to have to go to a break, folks. But and Christopher, there's some other pieces I want to get into, and one in particular, folks, that I want you to hear because he focuses on a piece that a 34-year-old man who died of COVID, and he was mocked by, as I call them now, state-controlled media. Not mainstream, state-controlled media. I want you to hear why. So we're going to take a break, and then Christopher Bedford has willingly agreed to stay with us through the break, senior editor with The Federalist, and his article, The Revolt Against the American People. The story coming up on the other side.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. My love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're back with Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist. He wrote a piece titled, basically, The Revolt Against the American People, how we're being forced under lockdowns and instructions and demands at vaccinations or you'll be punished, things of this nature. And, of course, defund police, and they're not going to suffer. The elites won't. You will. But, Chris, I was looking in particular at a part of the piece where you were pointing out a 34-year-old man who died of COVID, and the state-controlled media, and this even includes the BBC, all joined in to mock him and at the same time have fun the fact that he died. Why?
Exactly. I was Googling his name, and I saw the BBC, NBC, The Independent, New York Post, Daily Beast, and a whole bunch of others had done this. And his big problem, his big horror, his big sin, and the reason why this guy, who was only otherwise known by his neighbors and his family and friends and colleagues, would be internationally mocked in news media for having died at a tragically young age, is because he was a young Christian man in Los Angeles who publicly professed his faith in God until the end, and he was openly mocking of the vaccine. So he thought he put a lot of faith in God and in his, as his spiritual armor. And he also said, "Well, I'm not getting this vaccine, and you're not going to force me to." He died of COVID. Now, there could have been, if any of these folks had a soul, they could have used him as a good example of, say, "Hey, this is a lesson to some people who I know that you're people of faith, but you ought to consider this." But that's not what they did. They dragged him, they mocked him, they mocked God, they mocked Christianity. And it's just truly a shameful thing and shows such a level of scorn for Christians, for conservatives, and for anyone who doesn't accept their narrative.
Well, the other thing you added in your article, when you were talking about how the violent crime has broken out in D.C. and just yesterday, and folks, in the next hour, we'll get into that again about how they've got the progressives calling for defund police while they get their own protection, and how you also point out that D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, she's not under any threat of crime where she lives, is she?
No, Muriel Bowser lives as far away from the crime as possible. I mean, the names of the village, it's called Colonial Village, next to Rock Creek Park and Silver Spring. It's as bucolic and beautiful as it sounds. You're much more likely there to see deer in the backyard than you are to see any open drug markets or any violently insane people or any drug users. And the only public tents you're going to see are parents reading their kids spooky bedtime stories, maybe having a camp out in the backyard. Whereas in the rest of the city that she governs, which is not a very big city, all over it there are homeless encampments, open drug use, rising violence. Just in my neighborhood alone, which is a nice neighborhood, and I moved in 3 years ago, there was a woman walking her baby in a stroller who was accidentally shot during a drive-by right in front of my house. There's a police cruiser now on my block. My garage is broken into, and a friend's motorcycle was stolen this week. None of this was going on when I moved here just a few years ago, and none of it is going on where Mayor Bowser lives, because it's more just filth for us and not for her.
And I would equate a lot of that to the progressives saying defund the police and we don't need as many. And, of course, the poor communities are going to suffer the worst. But, yes, the crime will expand if you're not going to have anybody out there to chase them down.
Yeah, I mean, we were in the news, and it was very sad to see us in the news with this big shooting that happened at Nationals Park where people were worried for their children's safety and for their families. Which it sounded like a shooting inside of the baseball park, turned out to be outside, but a fan was wounded as well as a few others. But the most sad thing that happened that weekend wasn't even that. It was a beautiful little smiling six-year-old girl who was shot to death and her mother wounded while they walked with her father and her older sister next to a park the city had abandoned to drug addicts and to criminals and to homeless encampments. They were ignoring that the request of the neighborhood to come and clean it up, and they finally only came and cleaned it up when they knew the news cameras were coming down. But for months and months and months, before it spilled over here where I live, before it spilled over into Nationals Park, it's been going on, particularly in the communities that Black Lives Matter says matter. And it shows you that these activists don't really care what's going on in those communities. They just want to make a stink and they want to control things.
All right. Christopher Bedford, I do appreciate you agreeing to stay over. An excellent article. It's in the Federalist right now. You can see it. Christopher Bedford. And I'm going to sign off with reading a few more of your remarks, but I want to thank you now so you can go. And I thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Let me share with you folks some of the closing remarks he added in his piece. He said, "Our elites don't just hate us. They hate our country." And he's right about that. He said, "There's no patriotism in all this strange faux aristocracy." He said, "Because America, her founding, her people, her prosperity, her freedom does not fit into their new morality." He's absolutely right. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to look at some of that in more detail about the crime on the streets and how it's escalating, and those who are in the elite, well, they're perfect. They're okay. And then, of course, we've got the circus in town. We got the Pelosi Select Committee underway again. Stand by for the circus.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.